Welcome to the Wedlake Bell Legal Podcast, covering a range of legal topics including updates from our four practice groups: private client, real estate, business services, and dispute resolution.
I'm Oliver Embley, a senior associate in the private client team. A large part of my practice is advising business owners and entrepreneurs on tax and succession planning. Today, I'm going to talk about the basics of inheritance tax business property relief, or BPR for short, including what BPR is and how it works, the conditions which apply to BPR, how to maximise BPR, and how BPR might be restricted by the government. Normally, on a person's death, unless assets pass to a spouse, civil partner or charity, their estate will pay inheritance tax, or IHT, on the value of any assets over their nil rate band, which is currently £325,000. BPR reduces the IHT burden on the value of business assets by either 100% or 50%, depending on what those assets are. An interest in a business will include a business carried on as a sole trader, an interest in a partnership, or shares in a trading company. BPR was first introduced in 1976. Its aim then was to ensure that after the death of an owner, a family-run business could survive as a trading entity without having to be sold or broken up to pay the IHT liability. BPR has evolved as successive governments have recognised the value of encouraging people to invest in trading businesses, regardless of whether they run those businesses themselves. For example, shares in trading companies such as Fevertree, which is listed on the alternative investment market, will now attract BPR. So, let's look at the conditions for BPR to apply. Because it's such a generous tax relief, there are a number of conditions which must be fulfilled in order for a business interest to qualify. Number one, a person must hold their business interest for more than 2 years before their death. Number two, the interest must be in a business which is wholly or mainly trading. Number three, the business must not be listed on a recognised stock exchange, such as the London Stock Exchange. And number four, there must not be a binding contract for sale over the business assets at the time of the holder's death. The legislation does not exactly define what trading is, but it does confirm that a business which deals wholly or mainly in securities, stocks and shares, land or buildings, or holds or makes investments will not be trading. Often it will be clear when a company's activities are trading and when they are investment. For example, a company which manufactures widgets will clearly be trading, and a company which invests in stocks and shares will not. However, the distinction can be a difficult one. For example, shares in a property investment company, which purchases property to rent out and sells on for a profit, will not qualify for BPR. But shares in a property development company, which buys plots of land, develops that land, and sells it on for a profit, would qualify for BPR. It's also important to check that there is no obligation on anybody to purchase business assets following the death of a holder. For example, if the articles of association of a company provide that the company or other shareholders must purchase the shares of a deceased shareholder, that will be a binding contract for sale and BPR will be unavailable. On the other hand, if the Articles of Association provide an option for the company or other shareholders to purchase the shares, there is no binding contract for sale, as the option does not have to be exercised upon the holder's death. In that case, BPR would be available. Often, trading companies will hold both trading and non-trading assets. BPR is particularly generous in this regard, because it allows the whole value of a business to qualify for 100% IHT relief, even where non-trading assets are held. This is where the wholly or mainly test needs to be looked at. Generally, it is accepted that where more than 50% of the activities of a business are trading, the whole business will benefit from BPR. For example, if a company owns and runs care homes worth £10 million, which are trading assets, but it also owns buy-to-let investment property worth £7 million, which is a non-trading asset, the whole of the company's £17 million value would qualify for BPR because the trading side of the business outweighs the investment side. The 50% rule is not set in stone, however, and the courts have adopted a reasonably flexible approach over the years. The main case here is a 2010 case involving the executors of the 4th Earl of Balfour. This involved a large landed estate in Scotland, which consisted of two occupied farms, which were trading assets. However, the farms represented only 35% of the value of the estate as a whole, with the rest being made up of mainly holiday lets and cottages. HMRC's argument was that the Earl's landed estate should be denied BPR completely, since it consisted mainly of holding or making investments. However, surprisingly, the Upper Tax Tribunal allowed BPR on the whole value of the estate. The court commented that all the factors must be assessed in the round, over a period of time, so as to form a view about the relative importance of the investment and the non-investment activities of the business as a whole. So what does this mean for you? Clients who have trading businesses might consider transferring non-business assets into those in order to take advantage of BPR. For example, I recently advised the partners of a farming partnership which owns a farm worth about £6 million on maximising BPR. In that case, the partners own three rental properties on the farm worth about £500,000 in their own names. As the rental properties were not used in the farming business, their value did not qualify for BPR, which meant an IHT exposure of around £200,000. We advised the partners to add the rental properties to the partnership by way of a capital contribution. Following the addition of these properties to the partnership, they represent only about 8% of the business as a whole, so the partnership is still wholly or mainly trading, and the whole value of the business, including the value of the rental properties, will attract BPR. This will potentially save the family £200,000 of inheritance tax. It should also be noted that where property is held by an individual and used as an asset of a trading business, BPR will be allowed on the whole value of the property, but only at 50%. However, where the property is owned by the business itself, it should attract 100% BPR. Therefore, individuals who own both the trading business and the premises from where the business is run might consider transferring the property into the business in order to maximise the relief. Specialist advice should always be sought before restructuring businesses, as there may be other taxes such as capital gains tax, corporation tax, and stamp duty land tax to be considered. I'm going to end with my thoughts on what might be next for BPR. As you might expect, at the moment the government needs as much tax as possible. Even though IHT does not raise a significant amount of revenue, it is politically easy for the government to increase IHT by restricting reliefs, including BPR. I predict that there will be a significant reform of BPR in the not too distant future. Whilst the Chancellor has recently announced that the autumn budget has been scrapped, these are unprecedented times, and emergency tax reforms could be announced at any time to support the government's COVID spending. There are currently two ongoing consultations into IHT. The all-parliamentary group Reform of IHT have proposed simply abolishing BPR. I think that's probably too draconian, as it will break up small businesses and farms, which form the backbone of our economy. Instead, I think it's more likely that the wholly or mainly test will be changed so that the trading activities of a business need to be substantial in order for the business to benefit from BPR as a whole. The Office for Tax Simplification have suggested that a business should have a minimum of 80% of its activities as trading in order to qualify for BPR, and I think that this is probably the most likely scenario going forwards. We'll see what the future holds. However, if business owners use flexible trading structures, such as partnerships to hold assets, restructuring should be easier if and when the law changes. my advice would be to bank BPR as soon as possible. I hope that this podcast has provided a helpful overview of how BPR works and how you might be able to benefit. The private client team at Wedlake Bell work closely with our business advisory team, taking a holistic approach to business succession. We'd be delighted to answer any questions you might have. Thank you very much for listening.
You just listened to the Wedlake Bell Legal Podcast. If you liked our episode and want to know more, then check out our website, www.wedlakebell.com. Wedlake Bell. Building relationships is at the heart of everything we do.